just gonna stand there and watch me burn. Well, that's all right, because I like the way it hurts. Just gonna stand there and hear me cry. Well, that's all right, because I love the way you lie. I love the way you lie.
I can't tell you what it really is. I can only tell you what it feels like. And right now it's a steel knife in my windpipe. I can't breathe, but I still fight. Well, I can fight. As long as the wrong feels right, it's like I'm in flight. High off a log, drunk from my hate. It's like I'm huffing pain. I love her, the more I suffer, I suffocate. Right before I'm about to drown, she resuscitates me. She fucking hates me, and I love it. Wait, where you going? I'm leaving you. No, you ain't come back. We're running right back. Here we go again. It's so insane, cause when it's going good, it's going great. I'm Superman with the wind in his back. She's low as lame, but when it's bad, it's awful. I feel so ashamed. I snap, who's that dude? I don't even know his name. I laid hands on him. I never stoop so low again. I guess I don't know my own strength.
Just gonna stop.
Smith is who you see. What a cooler combo in here. Crack a prolong, we're on the air. Kicking back, having a few beers, we're chatting. Pull up your chair, we're all relaxing. Any subject, we never dismiss. Big talking brewskis with Marissa Smith. Comedy, sex, relationships, war. Any subject, we got it in store. Big talking brewskis is coming in live. Crack one open, Marissa has arrived. Big talking brewskis with Marissa Smith. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Sky falls, earthquakes. We gon' put this back together, we won't break. Sky falls, earthquakes. We gon' put this back together, we won't break. Sap I say, my part of princes, my Haitian gods, and all of my princesses, our condolences as we fight against this. We right by your side while we trying to make sense of this. Heavenly Father, help us see through these problems. And for those that step, accept them into your garden. Theory, the country's already starving, so we sacrifice many to shed light on all of them. Y'all please pardon, speak for my heart. The only way I can see this tragedy befalling. So let's get involved with them, hand to hand, arm to arm with them, till they get strong again. Sky falls.
Yeah. Can't wait until tomorrow. Hey, yeah. Petit ami amor, petit mon amour. Not gonna leave you stranded. Oh no, oh no, oh no.
Sky falls, earthquakes. Back together, we won't break. When the sky falls and earthquakes, we gon' put this back together, we won't break. We learned from the past, New Orleans flooded, so we know we just can't rely on the government. We under the rubble, here we go rumbling. When we go catch a break, a friend lost his mother, and then Carlene lost her uncles, and then buried with no caskets, they just put covers on them. And the tears fall, we'll fight back. Story can't end, no, not like that. No, not like this. Smaller survivors gon' carry on your name. You live on inside us. Your memories alive with us. You inspired us to rebuild this country. You just got us. When the sky falls,
not tomorrow.
Yeah.
Marissa Smith is who you see. Water cooler combo in here. Crack- cold one, we're on the air. Kicking back, having a few beers, we're chatting. Pull up your chair, we're all relaxing. Any subject, we never dismiss. Big talking brewskis with Marissa Smith. Comedy, sex, relationships, war. Any subject, we got it in store. Big talking brewskis is coming in live. Crack one open, Marissa has arrived. Big talking brewskis with Marissa Smith. Yeah.
Hey guys, this is Big Talkin' Brewskis. I'm Richard Smith. Happy Friday, everybody! It is Friday, you made it. And this week we have Rain Dove with us.
What up?
How you doing, Rain?
Oh, I'm doing awesome. How are you doing?
Good. How was your week?
It was fabulous. Lots of awesome, strange things happening this week. Just came back from a sculptor.
Cool.
Been, like, sculpt my body. So I was like working on getting plaster poured all over my body, which
okay.
is like, the sexiest thing.
Now this is like a full mold or like
full mold.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So like this is like, well, how tall are you? Because you seem quite tall.
Well, I'm 6'2".
Okay, yeah. So like it's gonna be like a full body, or is it? It's just gonna like
full body.
Okay,
full
that's
body,
awesome.
Limited clothing.
Okay.
But it's artistic, so it's not.
All right.
Slap the word art on it.
And you can do anything.
Anything.
Absolutely. So, like, what kind of medium are they going to be using in the sculpting? Like, is it going to be...
It's going to be... I think it's going to end up being created out of foam, and then it's going to be covered in either resin or copper.
Oh, okay.
And then it will be all over the world, like Venice Biennial, probably, like, various art shows and museums around the world.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Have you... Yeah. Have you done, like, sculptings like this before? Have you been, like, the inspiration for sculptings like this before?
This is my first one, so it's very strange. You're getting me at a very strange time in which things are moving very quickly.
Okay.
I get to meet a lot of amazing people like yourself and talk to a lot of really interesting individuals who are doing different forms of art.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I think it's like, I've only had like the experience that I was in a photo that was in a gallery. And so like, that's that weird moment where you're taking a picture of yourself next to yourself in the gallery.
Yes.
Like, you know, you're just like, look, Ma, like, you know,
it's happening.
Yeah.
There's two of me.
Yeah. But it's like, you have that like weird sensation, like, oh, wait a second, I'm on a wall somewhere. Like, this is this is strange.
Yeah.
Like, this is definitely strange.
I mean, well, you're stunning. Have you done any commercial work before?
No.
I can see you.
Yeah.
On this billboard. You'd make me stop and I'd buy whatever you want.
Well, thank you. I always felt like I was, like, too short for our... Well, I mean, commercial, I guess I'm tall enough. But I get, like... whenever I get some sort of, like, listing for, like, modeling, it's always for, like, plus size. And it just makes me want to, like, yell out the windows. So I'm just kind of like, fuck modeling. Like,
well, I mean,
I'm going to be funny, goddammit.
Like, does it?
Yeah.
It doesn't, because everything's on a digital platform.
Yeah.
If they want you skinny, they're going to Photoshop it. If they want you short, they're going to Photoshop it. If they want you tall, they're going to Photoshop you. I mean, it sucks, you know. It's,
yeah.
It's part of art, but... I mean, I think right now it's more about the personality and less about the, you know, conformity or, like, the natural body. Because
right.
they can manipulate you.
Yeah. I mean, especially, like, if they kind of make you unreasonable. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if they're just, like, making you, like, so ridiculously thin, like, I think I'd have a problem. I'm just trying to find our topics.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of, like, when they... I get that a lot. I'm a size 6 to 8.
Yeah.
That's this weird, like, gray zone between the normal model size, quote-unquote, which is 0 to 4.
Right.
Or I hate the term plus size, but a lot of people own that term, so, you know, what up? But that's, like, the size 10 and above. So if you're a 6 or 8, you're in this weird dead zone.
Yeah, that's where I am, but I'm, like, much shorter. So, like, you look, like, you know, at, like, a 6 to 8, like, you look very, like, statuesque. And, like, for me, it's just, like, oh, you know, one more chicken wing, you're Midwestern, like, you
know.
You
just got to change the type of statues we're making, then you'd be statuesque.
You know, well, they'd need to be 5'3". I'm, like, having, like, such trouble trying to find these topics.
You were talking to me a little bit earlier about a couple of things. One of the things we were talking about was the new gay flag, the new LGBTQPIADKH flag, which is all the letters now that exist in the... Do you know this? Do you know this? Okay.
Yeah.
Lesbian, gay,
okay.
trans, bisexual... Polyamor/pansexual, intersex, agender/asexual,
okay,
demisexual, And kink. Kink is a new thing that's been added as one
okay.
of the things. And then I always put H on there because I think that we should include heterosexual as a recognized sexual identity. You know?
Right. Okay, so now we're going to have to go through some of these that I don't know. One. So now one of them was pan or polyamorous.
Yeah, so polyamorous, obviously, you probably know
right,
about.
Right, what exactly
always stigmatized, polyamory.
Yeah, but what is exactly pansexual?
Pansexual is kind of like, I mean, I guess the best way for me to be able to articulate this, and I myself don't really identify on any of those terms of any of those letters, but my best definition of that would be someone who says, I like, the person I like could be anyone, you know? It could be literally pan, it's like across the board.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you love everyone. It means that you have the possibility to love anyone and you let it come as it comes.
And as opposed to bisexual?
Bisexual recognizes a binary. So bisexual says that you could be into men or women.
Okay.
It doesn't necessarily recognize the spectrum of identity in between. However, some bisexual individuals do say that bisexual is all-inclusive and is very much on par with pansexual. For me, language is like a massive prison, you know what I mean? Like, I don't understand why we need all of these, like, you know, the sounds that we utter from our throat are supposed to, like, you know,
right.
imprison us into a way of thinking or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, it depends on who you are. Everyone has their own identity, you know, they have their own way. And like, bisexual can mean one thing to one person and one thing to another. But pansexual and bisexual, they keep them separate because most people see bisexual as liking one or the other, whereas pansexual is like, I can like anyone from the full spectrum. Yeah.
Okay. Because
it's a lot. It's a lot. It's
because I'm just trying to, well, yeah, no, and I'm so happy that you're enlightening me, you know.
Here I am.
Exactly.
I'm a sex guru.
It's like,
I'll be
you
here
are the.
All hour.
You're like the totus, the tallest Yoda. you're Tota. yeah, because like I would, you know, just like being completely ignorant of it. Like I would assume that bisexual would be like pansexual because you are sexually attracted to both. Right. But I would also think that if a person would be trans and they're identifying as, you know. Their gender of choice and you are bisexual, you're still with whatever gender they are both identifying as.
Your
and
eyes squinted up, so it was amazing.
Yeah, like, because I'm just like, I'm trying not to be a dick. Like,
No. There are a lot of bisexual individuals who are in relationships with people who are in transition or people who have no gender identity, and they still identify as bisexual. In fact, my partner identifies as bisexual. However, I don't personally identify on the gender spectrum. I do very much love my clit. It's an awesome thing. Got tits the size of like small pheasants, which is pretty rad. And just kind of like naturally occurring on my body and hanging out. Massive wind resistance, but you know, I'll take it. You know, those are like my physiological traits and they don't really fall into like, you know, limiting how I live my life. You know, they
right.
don't really structure why I like something or why my mannerisms are a certain way. Even though I don't fall on gender spectrum, as far as identity goes, my partner still is like, I am bisexual.
Okay.
Like I said, it's personal for everyone. I think that the whole entire thing is, like, in my personal opinion, unnecessary in a certain way for us to divide ourselves. But at the same time, it is necessary because people are killed every day for just wanting to love who they want to love, including themselves.
Right.
And so those labels are important for people to be able to explain why they are different and also to be able to identify the problem with the way we treat people. But one day, my hope is that one day we will simply be able to say not I am lesbian, I am gay, I am trans. We'll just be able to say I am I.
Right.
And that's enough.
Now, what are your preferred pronouns?
A pronoun is just a sound to me and all I'm listening for on that sound is positivity. I think that it's very, very unnecessary to have pronouns, in my personal opinion. However, I understand and respect people who have worked hard for their pronoun or identify with it. But it's just so much extra effort, right? Being like he, she, you have to divide something. And I just don't want the potential of what people think I'm capable of to be divided in half simply by a sound.
Right.
I want the best out of life, and I want people to refer to me like they would the best type of person that they'd want to hang around, you know?
Right. Because I know some people identify as a they that don't necessarily want to be identified as male or female.
Yeah.
And so, I try to go by whatever pronouns people want to hear.
Right. Since,
you know. But it does get, I feel like, confusing sometimes. But I think that if everybody is just open to, hey, like, you know, we're all individuals and we're all just trying to get through this together. And you know, words are important. And, yeah, you know, and if you can take that 2 extra seconds to be like, no, that's not this. This is this. Like, yeah, you know. So I think that that's always important. There was another, okay, so
we were talking about the flag when we started,
right,
this.
Right. So
I mean, have you seen this flag? Have you seen the new flag?
It's with black and brown also added, right, to the rainbow.
Right.
Yeah, I've seen this. Did you say there was an I?
Oh, yeah, I is for intersex.
Okay, so now what is intersex?
Intersex is actually a physiological condition in which I don't really like to refer to it as a condition, but that's the definition of it.
It's like, it's when, like, somebody hermaphrodite?
May have... yeah, I mean, hermaphrodite is probably the... I mean, you know, as long as you have good intentions, but it's not usually the PC term for it. It's somebody who does have genitalia that may not align with, like, external genitalia may not align with internal genitalia, or the genitalia may not line up with the chromosomal elements of the person,
okay,
or the, you know, or the hormonic elements of the person. And in fact, a couple of people who are intersex actually competed in the Olympics this year, female. And when their external genitalia didn't match their internal genitalia, they were asked to remove their external genitalia or cut it back so that it would be size appropriate. And there was there was a runner who's very famous, and they did very well. And I forgot their name, but they're intersex, and they won a couple medals this season, like silver, I think, no gold. But when they go back to their country in order to be able to compete in the next Olympics, they're actually being required. In order to compete as a female, even though they're not, like, you know, I mean, trans people should still be able to compete, trans women should still be able to compete, but I just mean, like, even though they were born and they identified with being female when they had literally, you know, they could choose
either sex or gender.
Right. Exactly, yep, either sexual sex identity. They are being required to undergo hormone therapy to take more estrogen because apparently they're like, if you have too much testosterone, you're not going to qualify to be male, which I think is complete bullshit, my opinion.
So, okay, so I'm, you know, I feel
this
like
is
I'm
intense.
Having...
This, yeah, this is intense. This
yeah,
is intense.
No.
Imagine somebody tells you have too much testosterone in you, you cannot identify as a female, you cannot compete in feminine sports, you cannot publicly be a female unless you go on hormone therapy
for
to
estrogen,
reduce
your testosterone.
But, like, that's just the way that you're born.
Right.
It's not your fault.
Right.
And that must be of female if that is a naturally occurring thing in somebody who identifies as female and or has sex organs that scientifically are identified as female sex organs.
Well, I was reading about this phenomenon, and I think it's in the Dominican Republic, and they actually started... another gender that was it's basically was once a girl, and so I can't remember what the Spanish term for it is, but there's like a genetic occurrence where someone is born female because they didn't have at birth enough of I guess testosterone or whatever hormones to make them fully male, but then once they go into puberty, then they get a boost of testosterone and then start developing right. Male genitalia. And, yeah, it was really... So, I mean, I guess in that case, they'd be, like, intersex. But... and then I thought it was interesting because some decide to become male at that point, and then some decided to stay female at that point because they still felt like that they had always been a woman, and then some felt like, oh no, like I kind of feel like no, I'm a guy.
Well, okay, walk with me on this, all
yeah.
right? This is, everyone makes fun of me because they think I'm super utopian, and they're like very much like, well, Rain, we're just not at that point yet. We can't look at things like that. It's just not realistic. We must be divided now. We're not going to get to a point where we all are just like, I am I. But walk with me, okay? Imagine if you were born and instead of popping out of the vagina and immediately being segmented into a specific culture for the rest of your life and judged by that culture for the rest of your life and judged in half for the rest of your life by saying, it's a girl or it's a boy. What if they were like, it's you? And what you got was not necessarily this label of you are male or female, but you got a breakdown of your body as a mechanical object, almost like a vehicle, where they were like, it's a you. And you have these specific functionings. You have a vagina. You have ovaries. These are your hormonic levels. This is your electrical makeup. What that would do is it would allow you a better understanding of you. You would be able to have better mental health care. Mm-hmm. Because you would have a better understanding of how you function, not in comparison to everyone else, but how you function. You would also be able to get better, a better understanding of like how your internal organs are working, how you're functioning, how to take care of those organs, not in comparison to everyone else, but for you. Your diet, you get better dietitian advice because people would say, look, these are the levels in your body and these are the types of foods that will foster your health. Right. See, the thing that happens is we get born and then we are divided. And it's almost like the cellular division that happens to create us at birth. We're first divided by male or female, then by, you know, the color of our skin, then by, as we grow, the height and the ability of our body. We're divided by our intellectual abilities. Then we're divided into like the category of like poor, wealthy, middle, in between. We're divided by what borders are born into. And the thing is, it's not fair. We didn't exactly choose this shit. I didn't choose to be on team like white American who kind of looks like a dude but has like an awesome vagina. You know, yeah. Like I didn't choose this shit. It wasn't like I chose my fucking team. You know, we aren't meant to be compared to each other. If we were meant to be compared to each other, we'd look more like ants or grains of sand on the beach. And even those things are different under a microscope. And yet, we can't help it. And the reason why is because we're just spat into the world and we have no idea why the fuck we're here. We're scared. We don't know if there's a reason. If there is a reason, we want to do everything that we can to, like, do the right thing so that whatever happens next, which is very fucking mysterious after, like, our heart starts beating and our brain stops functioning, we want to make sure that it's going to be okay. So we're always looking to make sure that we're doing what's right. And that's why rules exist, these fake rules, you know, and people are scared. All this that happens, all this division, all this hatred, it happens because we're so scared that we're not doing the right thing with what we have right now. That's why we hold other people down, because we want to know that we're up, we're on top. It's why we like hold other people back, because we want to know we're ahead. And it's not right, and it's not necessary. You shouldn't have to look around and be like, am I a good woman? Am I an angry woman? Am I a woman? Like, am I a feminine enough woman? Am I tall or short? You know, you shouldn't be looking at that. You should be looking at your life and saying, am I a good eye? Am I good? You right. know? So that's kind of how I look at life. I know a lot of people think it's very utopic, but I think that with the power of technology and our ability to be homogenous online and connect very quickly, like literally we can solve world problems overnight via Twitter. I really think that we can get to that point.
What do you think is the...
These sound effects are ridiculous, by the way. They're amazing. Also, when I came to Big Talk and Brewskis, I thought Brewski was a person's name. And now I'm sitting in front of like a full thing of beer and I'm so excited. I just want to put it out. This is a great concept.
Brewskis is... We're having Big Talk and Brewskis.
Cheers, by the way.
So now... And I agree with a lot of what you said. The only thing that I think is my disconnect is I honestly feel like rules were created for bad people. Not so much that they were created for good people. I think that there were no rules and then it's like, oh, yeah, Bob just killed somebody. People shouldn't kill people. We should have a rule about that. No killing. Like, you know, and because... I think for the most part, people would be good, but I think that when you have a group of good people, they kind of get blindsided by bad people, and they're like, oh, you know something? We never said you can't do that. Now we're going to have to say you can't do that anymore, and now when somebody does it, now we can say, oh, no, you're a bad person. You did this. Because, I mean, I think that most people... most eyes, that we have a sense of morality, we have a sense of right and wrong, and that some people's might be skewed more about their due to their culture or religious background or whatever, but just basic right and wrong, I think that most of us are kind of innately get that sensibility. And so I think that when you have those people that don't have that internal moral compass that are is just like, oh no, like a Trump or something, like then I think that's when rules right. are formed.
I absolutely 100% agree that rules are necessary. Now, when I talk about rules, I'm talking about societal rules that have to do with aesthetics and lifestyle. But when I think about the rules that our society needs, I think the rules should be really simple. Don't get in anyone's way of food, shelter, water, and physical safety. The universal truths and everything else is just extra. There was a time where being black was considered a bad guy complex, where it was wrong for you to own land because the reason your skin is black is because you were touched by the devil at birth, and that people built rules around like black people intentionally to hold them down because they were seen as bad. There are rules out there that hold gay people back because we're seen as bad and evil because we don't fit within the Bible, or you know what I mean? So while rules may have been created for what we consider to be bad guy, the idea that they're okay because of that is wrong, because what is the bad guy? The bad guy was once you. The bad guy was once me. The bad guy is still us, you know? And I definitely think, like I said, we definitely should have some rules, but the rules should be more about, like, food, shelter, water, physical safety. Don't get the fucking way of anybody getting in those things. Not everybody has to think you're beautiful. Not everybody has to like you. And not everyone has to support you. They just can't get in your way. That's part of free speech, free opinion, and free thought.
Right. Know? And we've got AJ Mattioli with us.
Some dope hair. Look at that. Look at that little pompadour.
I thought I had, I made myself look good because I thought I had another hour.
If you like.
and then I'm like, I'll show up with some sweat. What's up?
How you doing? Like,
good. Yeah. Luckily, Rain can talk for a while about
gender. Yeah, yeah.
I showed up moderately on time.
That's impressive.
We were talking. Okay, so we still haven't gotten to it, right?
Yes, we're talking about the new flag.
We haven't talked about it at all, actually. Like, we keep trying, but it's
all of a sudden, I got to care about black people? No, I'm totally. No, I mean, I think that I think that we live in an instant reaction world. And people were very like, well, somebody said that this is the new flag, and because it was on TV and they said it on TV, I'm gonna just make a big huff and puff about it. I just shut people down on Facebook for like 2 days straight. At first it was fun, and then it was aggravating, and then it was so now self-loathing.
There were a lot of angsty messages that you put up on Facebook.
Yeah, but definitely.
So much disgruntled.
Yeah, people are not unaware of my feelings.
So now, for people that don't know, a brown and a black stripe was added to the gay pride flag, and that's to represent brown and black people, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Okay.
Essentially, it was in Philadelphia. There was more than 50% of people of more than 50% in the LGBT community are people of color. In Philadelphia, there are also venues that cater to dress codes that are primarily anti people of color.
Right.
So unless you're wearing khakis, you know, you're not really getting into these venues. So even though they're more than 50%, they're still, you know, feeling very attacked in that community, along with the fact that, you know, all the other situations that are going on in the country and worldwide against people of color, you know, trans women of color are at the top of the list as far as LGBTQ hate crimes go. They are probably at the top.
Right. I mean, how many have been killed this year?
17. I was told by a white cisgender gay man that it's only 17. I didn't realize that, you know, and I guess in the grand scheme of life, no, it's not the Holocaust, but the trans people make up such a small, it's small people.
Well, one is too many.
One is too many. And it's, in a, when you're already only a percentage of a percentage.
I mean, Matthew Shepard was only one.
Yeah. The other day I had someone come onto my Facebook page and tell me that, you know, I get it, but that was really like, you know, there's other people that were gay that this hate crime legislation should be named after because Matthew Shepard, it was a drug deal that went wrong. And I literally was like, we have the audio tape confession. Like, that says, like, I did it because he was being a fag. Like, right. It's literally, like, on tape. Like, and I'm like, oh, thank you so much for... Yeah, I've had a lot of bullshit on my page lately. I had a cisgender, straight man, white guy tell me his opinions on the flag, and I simply responded with, are you even part of this community? Which I know he's not. And he's like, oh, now because I'm not part of a community, I'm not allowed to have an opinion. And then he went off, anytime you talk about science, I'm gonna ask. And I was like, there's a difference. I went to school and got taught some things. Gay and LGBT history was not one of them. Therefore, I'm going to assume that unless you really are gung-ho or, like, your kid's gay, you're not reading up on the gay flag situation.
Right.
And the other big situation, the other big reason why it's nonsense to get so pissed off about this flag is there are so many other flags. There's...
Yeah, well, we also have to keep in mind that the gay flag, the LGBT or pride flag or whatever you want to call it. I think gay flag is the wrong term, and people have to understand I didn't exactly, you know, pop out of the vagina and just, like, become a guru on my own identity. So, excuse me for my un-PC-ness. I'm going to make mistakes, and that's the beauty of learning. We have to keep in mind that the original rainbow flag actually had two other colors on it, which is a cyan blue and a magenta. And they took those colors off because they were like, there's too many colors. It's very confusing.
Yeah, and they weren't being, those colors weren't being mass-produced at that time.
Yeah, so they were like, we're going to cut it. So the flag has already changed.
Right.
They already took things off. And a lot of people's argument for the thing is just like, the flag that happened with the brown and black stripes happened in a regional space, specific to a certain community in which intersectionality is a really big part of an issue of being queer. It literally was the difference between feeling safe being queer and feeling in danger of being queer. Unlike in New York, I mean, I think in New York there's still intersectionality issues, but in New York there's a lot more diversity. It's not, you know, if you see two people of color walking down the street holding hands and they happen to look aesthetically as if maybe they had the same genitalia, you probably would almost look at them in the same way that you would look at two white people walking down the street holding hands as if they had the same genitalia. Like, if you don't like queer, you're not going to like either of them. Race isn't really a thing. I mean, race is definitely something that's looked down in certain communities in New York City, but it literally, where this flag originated, this concept originated, it was literally the difference between life and death. It was literally the difference between being allowed to go into, like, into places where it's supposed to be a safe space for you.
Well, like, I'm happy that you're both here and that we can have this conversation. I think it's important for people to hear this and listen to it and understand a perspective outside of themselves. And so I think that when you bring up intersectionality, like, one of the things that I have noticed, like, I've gone to like gay clubs in the city or whatever, and I find that they're very segregated.
Oh, completely.
And so, like,
that's because there's different music styles and different dance styles, and also there's still this idea of, like, cultural misunderstandings, you know.
But I don't necessarily feel like, I mean, depending upon what part of the city you're in, I think that, like, you know, quote unquote, like, cisgender hetero clubs and bars are more integrated, I find, than homosexual bars and clubs that I've been to, where, like, you know, I feel like, you know, and I'm just like, as an outsider looking in, just, you know, I'm cisgendered hetero woman, but, like, I've been to a lot of, like, gay clubs, you know, but, like, and not in, like, a, like, bachelorette party sense, like, you know, like, like, no, like, I might, like,
oh my
gay,
god,
it's
the gays, like, love,
oh my god,
me.
They're so cute. You know,
the
not
quickest way to end a the quickest date way to get a date to end with me is I said to a girl, hey, I go to mostly drag bars, and she said, oh my god, the gays love me. I blinked a few times and then was like, well, there's the cab right there.
No,
there's a you can tell that there's a difference. There's a you don't have a very bachelorette-y vibe to you.
No, like, it's like, bitch, when we drinking?
Like, well, you know, know, the letters may be together, you know, but the people are not.
Yeah.
The community is still segregated. Well, it's segregated by its letters, its identities, its cultures. It's separated by, like, there are multitude, even like age. Like, a lot of people are like, you know, the age, you know, presentation of people who are in from like what we consider to be a queer community or whatever, you know, people who don't have common conventional sexual, you know, identities. They, like, there's not a lot of, like, older people who are represented in a way that isn't fetishized, you know?
Right.
Yeah, no, 100%.
You know, there's not an ableism, you know, you're talking about ableism, you're talking about people from other countries, you're talking about, like,
what
people.
What is ableism?
Ableism is, like, we're talking about people who have different physical or mental levels, you know?
Okay.
And contributions.
Well, I mean, I would say also in the gay community, and actually it's probably hidden, and I can't really speak on Tinder, or what goes on Tinder, but I feel like it's probably made its way over the no fats, no femmes, no blacks situation that's on Grindr.
Oh, is that really straight like guys want to get laid. They know not to
they
say
know
that
not to write that smart. Okay. Yeah. See, the thing is with I love, you know, and I don't know which of my gay white friends are guilty of that. And I understand your the other side of the argument, well, that's just a preference. And my thing is, it's not about your preference. You have the ability to scroll right or left. It's
you can filter that.
Yeah, and it's
you don't
putting
have to
it
even
out
engage.
There, and it's saying that, yeah, you don't have to engage. And it's not, it might not be your intent, but your reaction to your misguided, you know, intent is what's important. That's what makes racism. I might have friends that are totally, you know, "quote unquote cool people of color," you know. But at the same point,
going on for my second
Brewski, they might have that written, and they might think on Grindr, well, it's just a preference. It'll make people know not to hit me up. But as a person of color, I can't imagine that feels good reading that more often than not. That is a huge. You don't have. I hang out with mostly white gay boys. I mean, I am guilty of that. That's.
I have a very like very diverse spectrum.
Yeah, your friends
are
definitely.
It's a weird. It's a weird thing though, right? Because like a lot of people,
they're all guilty of it. Like they've all said, like, even if it's not on their Grindr profile, that, you know, they've defended it with it's not. It's just a preference, and that I understand your preference. You don't have to. You know, I can curse on this.
Oh, absolutely.
You don't have to fuck anybody.
Shit, damn.
Yeah. You don't have to fuck anybody you don't want to fuck. But you don't also have to be an asshole about it. Just scroll left.
I mean, just from
right,
a safety standpoint, like. Serial killers are less likely to kill outside of their own race. So just from a safety standpoint,
we're fucked because most serial killers are white. So. I'm so screwed.
I always quote Larry David and say, for me, hot is hot. You could be albino, white, to Africa, black. I don't give a fuck. Like, hot,
or you do give a fuck. You're giving all the
fucks. You know, so I think it goes into the whole, you know, it wasn't the intent, you know, it's not about the intent of being racist. It's about how people who are people of color are saying they feel discriminated against. And if you hear that, your immediate response should be, okay, what am I doing to make that happen? I was on Facebook, a queer cruising site, and I dumbly, and this was a year ago, and I've learned a lot in a year, as people do. I compared my trans experience to an experience of people of color, and this woman legitimately knocked, like, I wrote something like, oh wow, I never thought of that. It's kind of like being trans then, and she gave me the verbal ass kicking that I deserved. After reading that, she wrote, the only thing you should respond, I see you're typing because you could see the only thing you should be responding with right now is I'm sorry. And I deleted everything and I wrote, you know what, you're right. I have no right to, I might not have intended it to be racist, but if you felt that comment was racist, you're the one that gets to make it, you're the one that gets to set the tone of what is racist and what
is
not.
Well,
not
it's perspective is reality, but we also have to understand, you know, like, we have to, like, my hashtag that I'm really trying to, like, put out there right now is educate, don't hate. You know, there is a double-sided sword. There are a lot of people who are definitely born with factors that could easily make them feel the victim and or victimize them whether they like it or not. And there are going to be people who are going to say things that are triggering, who are going to do things that are threatening, who are going to put obstacles in their life. And it is our job as people who are on the receiving end of that to educate the people who are doing this, you know, these kind of actions with it, to the extent that we, you know, we're not like killing ourselves. Obviously, there's some people that it's like, you know, they have a lot of brick walls to go through. Yeah. But the it's our responsibility to be firm and to be honest, but to act with grace. There's a lot of
a hard
like,
time with the grace.
It's difficult. But our goal should not be to skewer these people up. Our goal should be to call them out, to be honest, to be clear, to be blunt, to be unwavering. But also, what we want is we want these people to change their perspective, to change their minds, because those are the people that are fucking us over. We want them on our team. And anyone can change. Anyone can change. I believe that anyone can change. But we need to have incentive for them to want to change. But we don't have to compromise ourselves. We don't have to apologize. We don't have to like glass it over. But we should always be invitational for people to change.
See,
you know.
And
that's my perspective, though. A lot of people are like, fuck them all, burn them to the ground, they can suck it.
No, it's definitely, like, it's definitely very zen. It's definitely, like, very, like, Buddhist.
My name is Rain Dove. Give
you know.
Me a break.
Yeah.
It's in the name.
Yeah. But, and that was Rain Dove.
I'll have to charge you for the next coup. That's money right there.
But, like, I kind of feel like, especially during this election cycle, that I feel like so many people are just mentally ill. And I feel like you can't reason with crazy. And, like, I always view, like, kind of like how you said.
Are you saying that the people that voted for Trump are mentally ill?
Yes.
Yeah.
The people who voted for Trump are feeling abandoned and alone. And they are a little, like, first of all, we have a major stigma on mentally ill, and I don't think mentally ill should ever be stigmatized or demonized. It should not be seen as a bad thing. It should be something that, like, hey, man, we need help. But those people are people who are not part of New York City. We will never understand their struggle. These are people who have made their lives off from hundreds of years of farming, coal mining, and physical manual labor, and they are not ready to transition their life into a technological field. They're just not at that point where that's their skill set. And we're kind of like fucking them by saying progress, and at the same time we're trying to invite them into a better world, a world where we accept each other. And the ideas of diversity, the ideas of like sexual acceptance, those things are getting muddled in with people who are literally hungry and feeling like abandoned. And so there's a huge gap that needs to be bridged. We need to say, look, we see that your struggle is something that we'll never understand as city people. We don't have to like rely on manual labor, you know?
I understand what you're saying, and your is very compassionate and very
their hate is wrong, but their struggle is something we can't really understand, just
but
like they
evolution
can't understand
us. Is something that's real, and
we need to provide real solutions for these people. Evolution shouldn't leave people behind, or else a lot of us would have been left
behind. That's what evolution is about. Evolution is that people that are no longer able to adapt to their environment do get left behind. They go the way of the dodo bird, because
but
that is what evolution
we don't,
is.
But that's why these people are fighting so hard. These people are saying, we are going to die out. Our way of life is going to die out. We are going to die. And we aren't the dodo bird. We're going to stick and fight. You know how
but
we're going to fight?
They are the dodo bird.
They are. Yeah.
Well, you know, I definitely
but
believe
the
that
the dodo bird didn't know that it right. was the dodo bird, but evolution taught it was. I understand what you're saying, but you can't stay in your small environment with no jobs, on meth or heroin, and expect that a job that is no longer relevant is going to work. Like, it's just it doesn't make any sense. And it's not even like they are unable to find I don't believe that these people should have no jobs, but it's kind of like there used to be milkmen, right? There'd be milkmen everywhere in the country. There were milkmen in New York City. Like, I know people whose grandparents were milkmen, but that job doesn't exist anymore.
I mean, I worked at Blockbuster. It doesn't exist.
I used to manage a Blockbuster. Yeah. You know something? That it does not, right?
I mean, I think also the thing with the coal miners is,
It was that extension thing that killed it.
It's the extension thing, right? Oh, man.
The thing is that we're not where we used to be. We have the ability to bring these people on board, and a lot of their ideas are
but
coming from a place of...
they don't want to go on board.
But you know what? Like, we are better. We are better.
But
we can find solution. You know what? They are winning because they are people who are in the last of their ropes. These are people who feel like they are going to die out, and they're fighting twice as hard, because when you see someone whose life is in peril, they fight twice as hard, maybe sometimes five times as hard. And we don't have an obligation to bring them on board, but we are better, and I know there are solutions, and I know that these people can be incredible people.
But I also
people.
Feel like there are people living in the South Bronx, people living in Brooklyn, people that are living in Manhattan that feel just as isolated, just as alone,
absolutely.
Just now, as disenfranchised.
It's not, only
it's not just the Midwest, but that is a really big part.
And that's why we lost the election. But there are people.
Yeah, the Electoral College. I mean, literally the states
of
that
Russia.
Well, yeah, well that's a whole.
Yeah,
nice
Russia
story.
Is Russia. Another thing. I mean, but Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. Let's be real. Yeah. If it was by the people, Hillary Clinton won, and there was meddling in the elections.
But what I'm saying is, you can go as far as downstairs from me to my aunt and my uncle, okay, who I'm sure I've talked about their racist antics on this podcast before. They are well educated. They are from. We are lucky enough to have a very nice house in a very nice neighborhood in Whitestone. Due to the fact that like my grandparents bought it for like $16,000, you know, and now we've just made it $1 million home, which is amazing. And that's kind of the whole neighborhood. For some reason, this neighborhood, who's very educated and very well aware of what's going on, only 11% of New York voted for Trump. 75% of my neighborhood voted for Trump. So it's not a matter of education. It's a matter of hate. And if you have people downstairs who my aunt and my uncle who helped raise me, you know, helped raise me and saw me through and will say things to me like, oh, well, it's not because of the gay issues, it's all the other things, when I know they're just racist. And the thing is, if my rights and my equality and my right to life, if you will, my right to enjoy my life, they vote against that every single election. Well, it's not about
but that can change.
They don't feel lost. They're just racist. And when push comes to shove, they see black people as the reason our houses aren't worth as much in my neighborhood. And the Asians came in, and now the neighborhood smells. And the Puerto Ricans down the block are obviously drug dealers. And they know better. They choose to say that shit. Well, they choose to hate.
But those people shouldn't.
This goes back to what I'm saying about these people that voted for him. And that... I'm a pretty open person. I know of, you know,
you
like,
date white conservatives.
You dance still with the devil sometimes, but like,
still mad at you for that one.
Hey, don't you love who you love? I mean, come on. So,
that's fair. Okay. Your mistake didn't last as long as my mistake.
Oh, so. Orgasms, so, sweet orgasms.
You know. He was 10 years younger. What do you want from me? But here's the thing, though, is that, like, and I know people that voted for Trump. He didn't vote at all, but, but I know them. They know me. I've known them for years. And literally, you voted for somebody that thinks that I'm not a person. And so how am I supposed to think about you? Because you don't care about me as a person. So now why should I care about you as a person? Because you've already dehumanized me. And so now there's no coming back. There's no breaking bread after this. Like, I feel like this country has a schism.
And I stupidly watched Jesus Camp a couple of days ago. And that was, you literally go, is there hope? Is there hope to this? You know, because you literally are watching people who are not going to be able to compete with people who, like, I feel like it should be illegal to have these things happening, because they're not going to be able to compete with, like, my nieces and nephew, thank God, because there's not going to be that many jobs in 15 years when they're working. But they're just not going to be able to compete. They're literally setting people up to fail at this point.
Right.
With the education, especially, like, the, you know, Jesus Camp showed the worst of the worst, of course. Like, I know Catholics and Christians who are not that, but that's in New York. They make up a big portion of the United States, and that's what's really scary.
Right.
I just think that, like, every person has the opportunity to come on board, and it's through our being persistent and consistent, we can bring them on board. We don't have to leave them behind.
Or
they'll leave themselves behind. They will.
Computerize.
But we need to like work to try. We need to try. You know, like the thing is like we are better. We can try. And I think you're right. Some people, that's evolution. They're gonna fall behind. They're just, that's just the way that life is. You know, they're not gonna be able to get on board. But you know what? We don't have to waste our time on these people. We need to organize. We need to get ourselves into politics. We need more people of color in politics. We need more people who represent our lifestyles in politics. And then we need to put our money where our mouth is. We need to put our time where our mouth is. And we need to vote. We need to change things. I think that the future is not looking very positive for the people who are on the Trump side of life, you know? But the thing is like, we should take pity in a certain way, not on their racism or their homophobia or any of these things. But not every Trump supporter is homophobic or racist or against women.
But if
a
you
lot
vote,
of them,
if you vote
if
I'm
just
voted
for that, I'm then that's I'm, what you
well,
are.
I'm, letting, yeah. I'm just saying a lot of these people are scared. They're scared. They're very scared. And they don't understand the politics that they're voting for. They don't understand the full spectrum. It's coming from a place of ignorance. It's coming from a place of, like, I need to hear that, like, I'm going to be taken care of. I want to be able to care about gay rights or black rights or other people of, like, different abilities' rights. But you know what? I need to know I can feed my family at the end of the day.
But I also
and I know
feel
that,
like
that doesn't give justification, but it's true.
But statistically, that's a misnomer as well. Because if you look at the data of after the polling was taken.
But these people don't all get to look at the data. Not everyone has, like...
No, but I'm talking about the actual Trump voters. If you look at the data, Trump didn't win with people making $49,000 or less. Trump won with people making
$50,000.
$49,000. Like, well, Trump had a lot of very one percenters.
$50,000 to his main pocket of voters made $50,000 to about 150,000. Those were the people that actually voted for him. So the people that are these really poor people that are afraid that they can't feed their families, that are living in these really desolate places that don't have access to healthcare or insurance or education, those people did not vote for him. So,
well, I would argue that quite a few did. And when you're talking about 50 to 100K, you're talking about these people like in a family. So you're talking about the middle class. The middle class that's getting squeezed right now. And they're wondering, is there going to be a middle class? These are not the one percenters, but they're also not the bottom of the barrel. These are people who are like, holy shit, our whole life is in flux right now.
But we're all 99% if you're not 1%. So we're all in the same
shit.
That's
why we got to bring them on and say, you know what? We're all in the same shit and we need to talk about this. And we're going to be consistent and persistent. We're not going to give up and we are going to succeed regardless. We want you to be part of that success. We want you to be a part of a better world. We want you to be with us. We are not a threat. We are the solution. We are the solution for a better life. We're a solution for your children to have a better life. And we promise we have your interests in mind. We need you to have ours too, and I promise we can do it all together. You don't have to be you against the world. We're here for you. We promise we're here for you, and we're not a threat. And I think that's a problem, is a lot of people feel it's them against the world. My dad is a Trump voter, and this is a very difficult thing. You know, a lot of people hate it, and on Father's Day I posted a photo of me wearing a pineapple hat and him wearing a Trump hat, and I'm like, our politics are so different, because you know, I would vote for a
pineapple over Trump. Stayed away from that post. I was like, I'm gonna scroll.
A lot of people were really angry.
Yeah, fortunately,
that
I'm black,
happy
so
Father's
I don't have to worry about any Trump voters in my family because we didn't go that way. But
there are a lot of people of color though that did vote for Trump, and you're like, really? Did you see that? Like, especially Hispanic voters, and Latino voters. They were very like,
they
were very.
They want to get deported faster.
But I'm not saying the majority did, but there was still a thing. In fact, a really good friend of mine who's a PR.
I thought someone's husband got deported, and she was like, I thought he was only taking the bad ones.
Well, this is what they don't understand, is that according to according to Trump, that they are taking the bad ones, but if you're here illegally, you're breaking the law, so you are a bad one. So that comes back
to the beginning of our talk when I talked about like rules are not here just for bad people, because what is bad is it's all perspective,
right?
And that's constantly going to change,
right?
You know, I really I'm very refreshed by your perspective. I think that you're very articulate in the way that you talk about things. I think it's a very complicated. We're in a very complicated time.
Well, and
that's really hard. That's hard, you know.
And I think that also for Something that's kind of frustrating to me, because a lot of the people in like the Dust Bowl or the Midwest, that part of the, they say that the reason why they voted for Trump is because Trump said that he's going to help with the opioid epidemic, and that, you know, they feel like a lot of their family and their children are dying from heroin, and that now all of a sudden this heroin and opioid addiction is a disease and it's not a crime. And I'm completely 100% resentful of it. Like, you know, because I'm a person of color. I'm from New York. I'm not from the city, but the suburbs of the city. And I remember the 80s and I remember the 90s and I remember blacks and Latinos, like, you know, getting being on heroin and crack and go right into jail.
Right.
So there wasn't, it wasn't a disease.
No detox, no nothing.
This was a criminal behavior. It was a criminal offense. And how many people are still to this day sitting in a prison? Because now, in 2017, what they had was a disease. But back in like 1985, that was criminal behavior.
Right.
So now, are they
what you're talking about are two separate things. One is like the evolution, like you were talking about. We need evolution. It's an evolutionary process, which is great. I mean, I think it's
what
important.
What I'm talking about is racism. Because
yeah, absolutely. But we need prison reform. So you have prison reform, and then you have like evolutionary behavior, which is saying, okay, these people need help. Now, that's where we're at right now. We're like, these people need help.
No, we're saying white people with addiction need help. We're still saying that people of color with addiction are still criminals, because if the people with color with addiction needed help, they'd be out of the jails and into rehab centers, but they haven't been released.
That's prison reform. I absolutely 100% agree with you that if we change policy on something, we need to let people go who have been criminalized on those policies. And you're absolutely right. That's 100% racism. But
it's never going to happen, because now if you go and you take all of the people of color or poor people that are in jail because of drugs today, and you release them because now we have evolved to now believe that this is a disease instead of a criminal offense, now these people are all able to sue whatever state, local government, city that they came from, and they could literally bankrupt states. Because if you're talking
there's
about
a lot of people in jail from this,
there's
massive amounts,
right?
I mean prison is one of the biggest money earners. It's because we privatize them. It's a huge money.
We have more prisoners in this country than
any other country in the world. We're the number one police state, we're the number one prison state.
Right. So now, if you, let's just say, and I'm just going to say for shits and giggles, that 40% of
the
people,
I love shits and giggles.
Right? They're the best.
They're the best when you're on your third beer.
Yeah. So like 40% of the people that have been jailed in this country are jailed due to some sort of drug-related crime, right?
Yeah.
Now you release all these people saying, oh, you know something? We fucked up back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. We thought you guys were all criminals, but you're all sick. You all get to go. Well, I lost 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years of my life.
How much is
pay
that
up.
Worth?
Yeah.
How much is that worth?
They're never going to do it.
No.
But if you're in the Midwest and, you know, it's like, oh, you know, something, my coal mine broke down, so I started spiking heroin. Now I have a disease and you guys have to pay
for
me.
Well, they're not letting, like, the white people out of jail for it. They're just saying, okay, from now on. Let's Mother Teresa what's a solution?
Doing primarily white people drugs.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, look at cocaine. Cocaine's a great example. You have crack cocaine, and then you have like the refined cocaine. And they said if you were found with like the refined cocaine that is like 8 ounces or you know, whatever, it was a fine. You got a fine. But if you were found with crack, you were
that's criminal.
Yeah, that's criminal. Yeah. And that actually targeted specifically poor communities who couldn't afford the refined cocaine. Mm. And yet they were basically the same substance. In fact,
refined
stuff is almost more dangerous because there's a bleaching process that happens with it. So, I mean, that's completely targeting. I absolutely do agree. Now, the thing is like, let's get these people out of jail. What's your solution? I want to help. I want to advocate for this. I got a platform. Let's do it. Tell me a solution. I want to work on it.
Yeah.
Like, how can we save these people who have been wrongly, criminalized for something that, like, obviously they really just needed help with?
Well, here's my thing is, I have two people in my family who have sadly passed away from drug overdoses.
And I don't want to...
Oh, is it time?
But we're going to have to wrap this up. But
no,
both can stay. you both can stay, right. But we're gonna finish the story and then we're gonna go into the next segment.
Yeah, no,
but
yeah.
I want to hear.
I
a
just want to say, I just want to say, like, I have two people in my family who are very close to me who have passed away from overdosing. I do think it is an illness. I do think that we need to look at it. I will say I don't know the solution that won't put a state into a completely meltdown.
Can we offer free funding. Housing? Can we say, look, we have to get
it's
you on your feet?
It's not about that. It's about
free
the government money.
There should be retribution, but is there a way we can do it in installments so it's like, you know, almost like a check that they get every week to make sure that all their basic needs for the rest of their life are going to be taken care of? I mean, and saying, look, back then it was a really big issue. We were wrong, but at the same time, you know, we did have to rethink things, but the way of thinking was different back then. Let's let everybody free because it's better than you being in jail. But also, you have the right to have a successful life. All like we are going to offer you free housing and or allocation for housing.
Never happen though. It's sad.
It's not never going to happen. We can make it happen. We have to vote in the politicians who believe in this. We have to talk to our politicians. Yeah. You can change policy. The thing is, it's like it's better than us saying, "Oh well, it's never going to happen. Fuck it, we're not going to do it." Because if we don't 100%. Do anything, nothing will happen. We can change this. We are if we're thinking about this now, we can also think of the solution. I know it can happen.
Well, I think that you kind of are going to have to let people go with the
No, it's if you can dream it, you can do it. I know it's totally true. You can totally do it.
Go under contract that they would not sue the government. Also, give them
like
a health care, right? Like you're just basically buying out like
the rest of their life. Yeah,
you're giving them a severance.
Do you think that would be fair? Like, be like, we are so sorry.
But I think that you know, trying to give them some sort of training in something that they can get a job and a career, you know what I mean? So they can take care of themselves and education. I think like they absolutely should get a free education. They absolutely should get free healthcare. If they can get free housing until they have a job that they can actually like get their own housing, but then you're kind of imprisoning them in another sense, and you're not taking responsibility for the fact that you've wronged them to begin with. And I understand that if you think about it that you can change it, but we're also like, from my perspective, I'm coming from a history where we still haven't been taken care of because of slavery, and that was wrong. So how are you going to go and take care of people that have been wronged because of drugs?
I mean, jail is far better. Jail is far worse than being free. So, I mean, being free is a step up. Is it all that it ever could be? Is it the ultimate solution? Is it the appropriate solution? Absolutely not. It's not enough. It's not enough. But you know what? It's better than jail. And we can take it one step at a time. We can say, okay, let's at least get these people out. Let's get them out into the world. Let's support these people.
But psychologically, a lot of them don't know how to function outside of being...
You're absolutely right. They're going to need support, you know?
Right.
We can provide that. That won't bankrupt us to provide support, to have, like, housing, to have, like, transitional spaces for these people.
Well, no, I mean, what will and won't bankrupt us? And sadly, it's... I don't think there's enough people, and I'm a half-empty kind of guy. But, like, sadly, I just don't think that there's enough people, even on the Democratic side, that want to change things for the better. I think the Democrats right now are the Republicans of yesteryear. We have Republicans are ultra-conservative, even on the leftist of the most Republicans. And then you have your Democrats who are like, I loved Hillary. I thought Hillary was going to... just continuing the Obama legacy. But the fact of the matter is, 10 years ago, she would have been seen as a Republican. I had to forgive her for a lot of things because of the lesser evil. So because of that, I don't honestly think that currently there are enough people in Congress that give a shit. Now, do I hope that people that are listening and the people that have gotten involved, especially since, you know, the Orlando thing, a lot of my friends have gotten way more into politics, the Orlando thing, you know, the killing of 49 people, the Orlando thing.
Which you would have thought that alone would have been able to add brown and black color to the flag, but I'm just
and they
an
did it, like, it had to be, like, within a few days of it, because that happened on the 12th. I have to check my tattoo because I always think I have the freaking...
You have to update.
I'm like, is it correct? I was so nervous getting it. I was like, let's triple check this on the internet. But it was right around the same time, so I really think that it added white people being so pissed really added insult to injury. Like, to that flag thing.
You know, like, being ethical and honest, and I know we have to wrap this, but I'm just saying, like, being ethical and honest, it's expensive. But what we're buying with that...
Yeah.
You know, it's really fucking expensive to be ethical and honest. But what we're buying with that is luxury. The luxury of living in a world in which we know we're doing our best. And that is a world that we should want to live in. We should all strive for luxury. We should all strive for that.
I think the fear is that your luxury, my luxury, and Republicans in Alabama's luxury are two different things.
I think people don't look at the base of luxury. Luxury is knowing that we're trying the best. Mm. And luxury literally translates into the best. You know, the best experience, the best everything. These people shouldn't be in jail. I mean, there should be a lot more education and awareness. I think that, like, it's going to take, like, a lot of steps. But you know what? We started talking about it in this show. And I promise you, thank you so much for your education. I'm going to take it past this show. I'm going to work on it. And we're going to talk about it again in the future.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'd love to. I'd absolutely love to. We're going to take a quick break before we go. Rain Dove, where can everyone follow your work, see your wonderful statues, follow your social media?
I'm at Rain Dove Model, RAINDOVEMODEL on Instagram. And you'll see a lot of side-by-sides. We didn't really talk about, but I show the gender disparity. So how I'm treated differently when I'm viewed as male versus female. Because I think that, you know, my life is kind of fucked either way.
AJ Mattioli.
You can always find me at, the easiest way is I'm still promoting Words the Film. Words the Film on Twitter, Instagram is always great. And you can always check me out at MattioliProductions.com.
Okay, this is Big Talkin' Brewskies. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
I'm obsessive when just when thought of you comes up. And I'm aggressive just when thought I'm close enough. You got me stressing, incessantly pressing the issue. Cause every moment gone, you know I miss you. I'm the question, and you're of course the answer. Just hold me close, boy, cause I'm your tiny dancer. You make me shake and I'm never mistaken. But I can't control myself, got me calling out for help. Someone help me, it's not healthy for me to feel this way. Oh, you are making this hard. I can't take it, see it don't feel right. S-O-S, please someone help me, it's not healthy for me to feel this way. Oh, you are making this hard. You got me tossing and turning, can't sleep at night. It's time, please, someone come and rescue me. You on my mind, it's got me losing it. I'm lost, you got me looking for the rest of me. Love is testing me, but still I'm losing it. This time, please, someone come and rescue me. Cause you on my mind, it's got me losing it. I'm lost, you got me looking for the rest of me. Got the best of me, so now I'm losing it. Just a presence and a second guess, my sanity. Yes, it's a lesson, it's a face. My vanity, my tummy's up and that's when I see you get so hot. My common sense is out the door, can't seem to find the light. Take me, you know it's sad, you feel it right. Take me on my clutches, I up in your arms tonight. I'm out with you, you got me head over heels. Oh, you keep me hanging on the way you make me feel. S.O.S. please someone help me. It's helping for me to feel this way. Feeling open, and boy, it loves enough with words and spoken. I said, boy, I'm telling you, you got me open. I don't know what to do. It's true, I'm going crazy over you. I'm begging, S.O.S. please, somebody help me. It's not healthy for me to feel this way. Oh, you
Harris and Smith is who you see. What a cooler combo in here. Crack a cold one, we're on the air. Big talking brewski. Harris and Smith is who you see. What a cooler combo in here. Crack a cold one, we're on the air. Kicking back, having a few beers, we're chatting. Pull up your chair, we're all relaxing. Any subject, we never dismiss. Big talking brewskis with Marissa Smith. Comedy, sex, relationships, more. Any subject, we got it in store. Big talking brewskis is coming in live. Crack one open, Marissa has arrived. Big talking brewskis with Marissa Smith. Yeah.
Got a mic test, mic test. Ooh, oh, listen to that. Wait, do I really not get a headset?
Yeah, no, we're good.
I really don't.
Hey,
I really don't get
hey
the headphones.
Guys, we're.
I really don't get the headphones.
No, we're live now.
Do you want the headphones?
Oh, I mean, everyone else
so
has headphones.
We're.
There's just headphones around, and I don't have them, and I feel left out in the headphone game.
Okay,
you can
use the headphones.
I would love that.
So we've got Robert Puncher insisting on headphones right now.
It was in my rider, Marissa. headphones and fresh cut mango, if it's available, please.
We have mango.
I actually wanted a type of chocolate bar that could only be made in Denmark, but they only accommodated me with beer.
So
I'm going to accept the beer.
Okay, I'm not going to
complain about the beer.
I'm open right now.
Yes.
This
so
is big talking brewskis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I'm Marissa Smith. We've got Robert Puncher with us.
That happens every time someone says my name.
Exactly. We also have Sarah Teed with us.
Hello.
And we've got AJ Mattioli still with us.
Yep, yep.
And we've got Rain Dove still with us.
So clingy. Can't help it.
So clingy.
All right, so now that everybody knows who's talking, Robert, how was your week?
My week was good. It was busy. My week was very busy. I was working production on Logos Trailblazer Honors at St. John the Divine's Cathedral in Manhattan.
Nice.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a fun little, not little, it was a big, it was actually a big production. It was cool to watch it all come together. It will air right now, actually.
Awesome.
8 p.m. No, never mind. It airs after we're done doing this. It doesn't air now. I'm lying.
Do not tune out to watch it.
Stay here.
So, Sarah, how was your week?
It was great. I have this show coming up tomorrow, and we've been rehearsing for it. It's at this little equity house in Hoboken called Miles Square Theater, and we've just been rehearsing it. It's... it focuses on New Jersey playwrights, and because there are a lot of playwrights and artists in New Jersey, but unfortunately they don't get the recognition that they deserve. So,
right.
Activities like or theaters like the Miles Square Theater or LITM and places like that are trying to highlight New Jersey artists. And so every play there, it's 1 minute plays, and there are over 30 plays.
Oh wow!
And every one of them is by a New Jersey playwright.
No,
so
that's
I'm really
awesome.
To be a part of it.
That is awesome.
Are you acting in it, or do you...
I'm acting in it.
Excellent. Nice.
Yeah.
So now, Sarah, did you watch Wonder Woman?
You know I did.
Okay.
I walked out, and it's a wonder that I didn't, break my back. Like, yeah, I was immediately just starting to kick and everything. It was ridiculous. Yeah, I went in just... I've never seen anything about Wonder Woman. I never watched it beforehand, never looked at any comics or anything like that. And I was amazed. You know, I heard a lot of criticism before I went in about the ending of the movie, saying that essentially she won the fight because she had memories of a man, and so she wasn't actually winning the fight. And I think that's a load of shit. Like... I don't know if anyone else in here has seen it yet.
Oh, yeah.
But what happens...
I watched it, but on mute, so it doesn't...
Well, she...
I didn't see it.
I just wanted to see her. I didn't really care about the storyline.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
And Robin Wright, like, my wife. She gets inspired to, win this fight by thinking about this guy who is sort of the love interest.
Okay.
Who's Chris Pine. And... then she gets inspired and fights with all her might. But I can think about people and they're not doing they're not doing the work that I'm doing. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's like almost like if you would say that all of Salvador Dali's paintings were attributed to his muse. Because he, if it wasn't for the muse, he wouldn't have had the inspiration right. to do the paintings. So Salvador Dali like doesn't get any of the credit. It all goes to his muse, or the same thing with mm-hmm. Picasso. So that's kind of, you know, I think that's just because, you know, she's a woman.
Mm-hmm. And it's fair to say you draw on a little something extra sometimes when you have to make that extra puss. Or, I mean, mm-hmm. you hear all the time of like, parents pulling cars off from their children or people doing extra things that are a little beyond their capacity. And I mean, I don't think it's unfair to say, you know, this person has something that's a little bit more to live for. And there's nothing wrong with having a little bit more to live for, especially if it's love.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's also very metaphorical because she didn't have a lot of experience in the world yet. And that was like the one man she had any type of relationship with. So,
oh no, you can't. No. You got to dip your dick in a lot of ink before. Well, I mean, romance is not dead.
Right.
And maybe it was love at first sight, or first lasso, as it might be.
But I know, you got to kiss a lot of frogs.
I think what made the difference is that it was a female director,
right? Mm.
And because of that, any time one of my friends and I were discussing this. Any time that she saw something that could have been done better, she did it better.
Okay.
Like any small thing, even if it was just the tiniest thing, she made the difference.
Right.
Whereas maybe a male director might not have, but this particular director knew that this is a pivotal movie for women in film and women starring in film, especially something as powerful as Wonder Woman, where everyone sort of idolizes her. It needed to be done correctly, and I think that it was perfect.
Yeah, no, you know, I haven't seen it. I'm not really, like, a big superhero cartoon movie kind of, like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's all right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's usually, like, some, like, I'm on a date or something and he wants to see it. And I'm just like, all right.
I used to like it a little bit more, but now because I'm a filmmaker, I know, I started out in production design, so I used to get to build a lot of sets, and now there's so much like, oh, throw a green screen behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that can go to action movies or like, you know, any kind of kid movie. Like that's one of my qualms, is everything's done CGI and on the computer, and it takes away the art from it. And the things that I used to enjoy about action movies, the craft that went into it, isn't really there anymore, you know, on that end of it.
Right.
And for me, the storylines isn't enough. For me, I'm just not an action kind of guy. But I do want to see the new Wonder Woman because I heard it's directed phenomenally. So
yeah, it was great. As soon as you said the craft, my mind went straight to the Neve Campbell like.
Which
movie.
They're remaking, by the way.
Shut up.
They're remaking it.
Who's in it?
Who's in the craft?
No,
Wonder Woman?
The remake.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh.
All I know is it's not going to be Neve Campbell and.
Like
that's a sadness. There's nothing.
I don't know.
Neve Campbell was like literally like my sexual awakening. So I'm like, I'm like party of five. Nothing gets better. And now I'm like friends with her brother now, so it gets like really awkward because I'm like, how's his sister? He's like married with kids. I'm like, don't gotta ruin it for me.
It's like, can I come over for Thanksgiving? Don't worry why I'm in the bathroom so long.
I show up with a full turkey. What's up?
Happy Thanksgiving. So, Robert.
Yes, Marisha.
How are you?
Currently, moment, I am well. I have not seen Wonder Woman yet, which is why I have opted to stay quiet on that film. I actually did hear, though, the same complaint from friends who have seen the movie, that it's intended to be this great feminist empowering film, which it was, real world. I don't know about the plot itself, but I do know that director is now the highest grossing female director in all of Hollywood, which is incredible, because I think she's in like her mid to late 20s, so
amazing,
incredible for her, and she's going to have an awesome career moving forward.
Yeah.
She just bumped you.
Right off. Number one for a while, but
pre Wonder Woman. But so I heard the same feedback of it. That scene at the end could potentially somewhat take away from the empowerment of the film because she saved the day.
Do you feel
due to a man?
Do you feel that if she was a lesbian, it would have been? And, like, this is a serious question. Like, do you feel like if she was a lesbian and it was a lesbian instead of Chris Pine, who is very pretty, if you grow a wig on him, same difference. But you know, do you think that if if you think that if she was a lesbian, do you think it would have read a little bit less? Or a little bit more feminine, like feminism?
I think, I mean, granted, I didn't watch it, but like just my take on it, it would be no, just because I think the fact that she had to draw on love in order to do it makes it sexist. Because I think that if it's a man, it's like he's strong, he's able, he's willing, he's doing this for justice in the American way, and he's doing it for society. But if you're a woman, whether or not you're a woman that loves a woman or a woman that loves a man, oh, well, you can only do things because of love. Because, you know, just you were supposed to be in your little kitchen. Love set you free. Now just fight the good fight because of love.
Like no, with that, doesn't Superman also like draw motivation from Lois Lane, and Batman saves the woman who's with Harvey Dent? What's her name? I'm also not a
Peter
superhero
Parker,
guy.
Also another one. The Hulk is like,
yeah,
he's quelled by
you
love,
always.
Love,
it's like a classic staple.
We have to think about when Wonder Woman was created. I mean, Wonder Woman was created during a time where it was revolutionary that a woman could do anything outside the kitchen. And frankly, there was like this weird kind of clash of people who had stepped up to provide during a war that had taken a lot of people, and telling them, you need to go back home now. You need to go back to your fucking kitchen right now. You know what I mean? When those comics became popular, it was like, you need to go back home because these people are coming back and they need their jobs back. And women had found a sense of empowerment of making their own money and their own decisions outside of the home. And Wonder Woman was very revolutionary, but it also was revolutionary, but had to cater to the people who had the money to produce it, which were men at the time, who were conservative in their values. And it was a revolutionary but safe comic. And when we talk about the creation of Wonder Woman in modern days, I mean, in order to be like, you know, able to do justice to the comic when it was created, the comic when it was created hasn't evolved as much as we have. And I think that the movie stretched the boundaries of even the original comic that was created, you know, because even the original comic wasn't even as badass, I think, as like we pushed the character to be in the modern day film. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about periodical like time travel here.
I mean, I also don't mind a little bit of the whole love thing. I'm a big fan of
fuck
that
love,
whole job. I know, it's weird.
But their next movie, they should be in a lesbian relationship.
Always lesbian relationship.
Yeah,
always.
Good sound effect.
Definitely,
diving.
From me, I think of it from a sales point. Like for me, my favorite part of that would be the love story. And I got out of like a 13-year relationship, and like so I'm like practically like a divorced person. Like like in the real world, I hate love. Like I'm just like, oh god, I hate everybody.
But if it's with a superhero,
you
can believe
about, like,
again.
You know, I mean, my I love, you know, I always say like Judd Apatow lied to me. You know, I love romance movies. I love that, like, there's trial and tribulation, but at the end, they get together.
That never happens.
I know, and it never happens. It never happens. I'm, like, just waiting. I'm like, oh, now she's with another guy. Oh, they're getting married. Oh, no, it's never going to happen. That Judd Apatow ending of getting back together is not going to happen. But I still like it, and I think that if I was to watch a superhero movie, I would want that.
I think that's, I mean, why I watch superhero movies in general. A lot of what goes down is never going to happen. This woman's never actually going to fly around the world throwing cars. But I still like to see it.
Chris Pine wasn't exactly the conventional hunk, let's be real. I mean, Chris Pine's character wasn't like, you know, they weren't, I don't think they were conventional. Did you feel like they were a conventional hunk?
Not necessarily, no, because, I mean, he did sacrifice himself.
Yeah. Like, but aesthetically, when you look at them and their bravado and who they are.
Chris Pine?
Yeah.
I think he's pretty hunky.
Yeah, I don't think you've been with a man in a very long time. Like,
I don't really find them to be, like, the conventional, like, they didn't feel domineering, I think is maybe the best way to put it. Like, you know, they weren't, like, physically, like, domineering. Like, you know, they kind of... I almost felt like it was Wonder Woman dating Peter Parker in a way. I mean, and that was my personal.
Okay.
That was my vibe, though. I mean, but this is someone who doesn't like, you know.
That's actually the porn that Marissa watches.
Oh, it's like wah, wah, wah. Or however that shit works. You know?
No, but like, I don't know. But I think that kind of makes sense, though, because like, I don't like. I feel like Wonder Woman would be like an alpha woman, and she doesn't want like some guy trying to like.
You think she would just have fuck boys? Is what you're saying?
She would have a couple of fuckboys, no real relationship.
Do you have anything other than that? I don't know.
Fair enough. Fair enough. She, okay.
No, but like I don't see her like trying to like get down with some guy that's gonna be like trying to like, oh no, like you're just a little lady, like let me go kill that spider for you, like you know what I mean? Like I just don't see her. It's just like, don't worry, boo, I got this. Like I just see her like.
I mean, maybe he's a bottom.
I mean, really?
I mean, even Lois Lane was kind of a badass. I mean, you know, superheroes. I mean, when you look at Gwyneth Paltrow's character in Iron Man, I mean, she kind of played like a badass in a way. I mean,
Iron Man.
She wasn't
rich
exactly like
being
physically
annoying.
Competent. Yeah. You know, mentally, she was very competent.
So now, Robert.
Yes.
If you've been in comedy for how long now?
6 years.
6 years, okay.
Yes.
So now, if somebody had told you
something... Thank you, imaginary audience. Thank you.
What do you wish, like, year one or month one, that someone would have told you then that you feel like would have helped you so much more now?
Wow. That's a deep one. Marissa.
I'm getting in there.
Yeah. Okay, let's go with this. This is something that I've been realizing for myself recently, is that I wish early on I had been told not to take it so personally.
Okay.
Not to get so caught up, so involved, piece so much of my personal ego and well-being based on how I'm doing on stage or how I perceive my career is moving along, to see it as a separate entity from myself and continue being a person outside of stand-up. Because I feel like, I don't know if you've had this experience, especially whenever you first start, there's a lot of self-doubt, there's a lot of insecurities, there's a lot of figuring things out, but you want to work hard, so you like commit yourself to this craft and you dive headfirst in, and you'll kind of isolate yourself. At least I know I did. I know a lot of people
I have no
who I associate with you. Yeah, and that's not healthy. And it's you kind of niche yourself off into this one little community and become a lot less relatable and less able to communicate with
regular people.
Yeah, the muggles, the outside world.
Exactly.
So that's the that's
boring.
The advice that I wish that I had had.
They are. Yeah, I feel like anyone out of the entertainment business, I just don't.
Like they're
really
kind of boring.
Get yeah.
I don't, they don't understand you either.
Yeah,
and
I feel like they always look like I'm so extra, and I'm like, but well, my friends, I'm like not enough. Like, I might be extra to your, you know, regular 9-to-5er, but like, well, my friends, if you're not bigger than life, you're not getting noticed, and they're all in the entertainment business. So for me, it's like, you know, I guess it would be nice to date someone not in the entertainment business, because it would be like a nice like vacation.
It's an interesting balance.
Yeah,
right?
There's only so much country I can do though, and I feel like maybe like twice a week if I saw someone not in the entertainment business, that would be alright.
You know, I was always told the reason is always bigger than the reality. You know, and you have to remember, the reason is bigger than the reality. The reason will always overcome. It'll overcome hunger. It'll overcome isolation. And it'll overcome all that self-doubt. You know in your heart, like, what you're supposed to do. And I don't even know if heart is the right thing for it. But, you know that this is what your intention is. This is what you're supposed to do. And that reason is way bigger than the reality of the fact that people are going to push you aside, hold you back. Because, you know, we're here for something that's ethereal, even though it may feel very physical, you know.
No, that's fair. I mean, I think, I couldn't do the stand-up. I couldn't do anything on stage. Like, luckily, I'm behind the cameras. Like, I don't know how y'all, like, and you too, like to be on camera, like, and to be on camera, to be in front of people, and to be in front of an audience, like, it's so raw. And, like, whenever people, like, don't give actors that credit, I'm, like, the first producer to be like, they gotta get to a certain, especially like when you're doing, you know, whether it be, you know, comedy, to do the same thing over and over and make it continuously funny.
Yeah.
Like, that's hard to do, you know, or these Broadway people that are doing the same, making Mamma Mia interesting night after night after night. It's gotta be an exhausting task.
Like, I think it comes, I'd argue, it comes and goes in waves. Like, it can be personally tiring, but you also develop a metronome as you do it. Yeah. So, for the audience, it's still fresh. It's still new. It's still entertaining. Yeah. So, to keep yourself excited,
can be tiring. But it actually, if like anything else, I think just performing gets easier as you do it. It gets more comfortable.
I think that like it gets more comfortable, but at the same time, I kind of feel like for me to like keep it interesting for myself, like I have to keep challenging myself every time.
Yeah, and different like material or
like different material. Like now, like I'm like I don't do set lists anymore, so like I just kind of work off of, you know, what did somebody before me say? What is the audience doing? And then I try to just free ball it until I get to like one of my prepared jokes. And I do that so that it's new every time. And I don't know when a joke is coming out anymore. Like, it's just like, but I got so tired of knowing, like, okay.
Of doing the exact same like, script again and again and again.
1 minute and 15 seconds long. Like, you know what I mean? And it's just like, now, and even in writing jokes, it's kind of like, I'll write a premise and I'll write a punchline, but I'll write nothing in between. And then every time, I just know that, like, I have to start off with this premise, I had to dance a little, and I had to get to this punchline. And then I don't know what that dance is. It depends on who I'm in front of. But, like, I just kind of...
That would make me so... I mean, that
But you know something? So that, to me, is more comfortable than going to a dinner party and sitting with five people and talking to them about kids and daycare.
Oh, God. And you're the comic, so they'd be like, say something funny.
It's just like, oh, so, oh, like, yeah. That's, like, so interesting. Oh, you tell jokes, so, like, what that's interesting.
Yeah. What are some of your jokes? And
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, you know, and I'll be, like... I'm always around, because, you know, my age, I'm always around people that are, like, married with children, and they're buying a house, and they've got gardens, and they're talking about, like, fucking, like, what they're kind of manure they're using in their garden, and I'm like, why are we talking about this? It's like you're literally talking to me about shit, and you're expecting me to be interested.
I want
to
shake them and be like, when did this happen to you? Like, it's well, I'm like, still like in the, and you know, I'm 36, but like if my friends tell me that.
That was a good year. Go on.
Yeah, yeah. But like when my friends are like, oh, I'm pregnant, I still jump to, oh my God, what are you going to do? Like, it's still like this, and it's like, you know, they like have it with my husband, and I'm like, oh. Oh no, that's congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's dope.
So you need a ride to the clinic? What's the deal?
May I ask a question?
Yeah.
I would love to know like a time that you feel like you completely bombed it. Mm. And then a time that you like you're like, I nailed this, you know what I mean? And how you felt like when you went through that process.
Got ya. You want me to relive a painful memory and to cry for you guys?
That's right.
Now?
And then and then heal it up, ooh, you know, with a little like
this is like therapy now.
No, but I mean, I find it very interesting. I mean, a comic works so hard on their jokes, and then you walk out, and sometimes it can be a complete dead space. I've been there. I've seen it happen.
Definitely. And it can be jokes that work every other night, too. Yeah. I'll give my worst. This is my absolute worst I ever had. It was Boca Raton. I was...
There's the start of the worst right there.
I was 21 years old. It was an outdoor room, the meatball room.
A meatball is obviously the fucked up one to get, right? Yeah. You get a meatball, and that's usually like the butt, you know.
So there should be so much comic gold with a meatball, though. You can juggle it. You can throw it at somebody. It's a meatball. It's a prop. I do mainly meat-based prop comedy, so it should have been a great gig.
You were cursed by the mystery meatball.
Yeah. But now, it's like an outdoor venue. They were round tables, so people are seated facing each other. They had been served food right before I got on stage.
Oh, man.
The host of the show was just the owner of the restaurant.
Oh, no.
So not a comic at all. And then the audience was like mostly geriatric Floridian Jews. And
the Floridian part was an important part to know.
Yes.
Yeah, I've done tours as a stage manager. I've done tours in Boca Raton. Like, best of intentions. There's always a full audience, but having them fall asleep, but it's not their fault. It's not your fault. It's just...
They've left the last of their laughs. Yeah. They're done.
But did you walk out there with hope, or did you immediately walk out there with defeat? Were you like, I believed.
I was like overly confident. I saw there was a bad crowd. I'm like, no, I've done this before. I'm here from New York. I'm going to win these fuckers over.
Yes.
And I kept that mentality through like minute four, I'm like, nah, they're silent now, but they'll wake up. They just haven't caught on yet.
So
minute
you were like,
seven,
you were
I'm
like,
oh,
I'm
going to
make this work.
Yeah.
This is going to happen.
Yeah,
I'm
and
work
then there's
that
like a
press.
Breaking point where I'm like, they don't even know
how
that
long,
I exist.
How long was your set?
15
oh,
of the
oh,
most
no.
painful minutes, and I got off, and I got in an Uber, and I left. Like, I was
what did the owner say anything to you? Were they like,
I don't
that
know.
Was
he was back on stage not hosting, and I just, I think I apologized and booked it. Yeah. And I did like a heavy metal club later that night, and that one was a ton of fun. So you had that saving moment, and
you
just don't
that.
Take those bad ones
like,
too personally.
When you have like a really bad bomb, like, you need immediately to have like a good set like right after. Otherwise,
yeah.
it's just like it's like weeks of just like oh god,
yeah.
like you know,
which is great because you're only as good as your last set. So no
yeah,
matter how
yeah.
many other times you've killed, you have that one bad one. I've lost
like,
it all.
I've yeah,
lost
it all. Yes. I'm never getting
I have
it back.
No hope.
Take Mataro said doing? That they had a really hard time because that one set about them having breast cancer mm-hmm. when they literally. Went on despite the fact that they had just found out they had breast cancer. It went viral. They were big, and then they were like, "Now what?" And they had a big, a hard time with this. Is there any advice you give people who like are having a hard time right now? I mean, it doesn't always have to do with comedy. Sometimes people are just like, "Shit is hard right now," you know. And even though it may be temporary for them, it's sometimes difficult to continue. You did your whole set. You could have just like run off, taken off all your clothing, been like naked.
I've done that
out.
In Florida as well. Actually, I just did a 2-week contract of a naked comedy show in Fort Lauderdale. That was that's my most recent Florida experience.
Wait, are you serious?
Oh yeah.
Oh, what was the name of the show?
Totally Naked, Ronnie Larson's Totally Naked Comedy Tour.
Well, title.
At Empire Stage. Yet people would still come and afterwards be, I can't believe they were naked. It's
why do you think
totally
the ticket was $50?
Bucks,
you
know? It's not just naked; it's totally naked.
Yeah,
you should have known that it was naked,
and
yeah.
it wasn't naked and afraid. I mean, these people were really into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think you have to do something that makes you feel good. Like,
boom, back to the prevalent question. Yes.
Yeah, I'm moving it along. But I
you don't
want to
talk about my balls anymore
because you put them in all the drinks.
I don't know. I haven't seen. There could be one,
but. I think that like when you're having like a really hard time, like even if it's something small, like you like to knit or you like to take a walk or you want a donut or something. Like I'm a donut person. Like when I'm having a bad day, yeah, yeah.
Donuts.
I have bad day donuts, and like when I'm just like I feel like my whole world is colliding, I will like sit down. I'll get a donut and I'll sit there and I'll be by myself and I'll just eat this donut and I'm just like for that like. 3 seconds that I'm eating this donut, I'm like, everything's okay.
Yeah.
Everything's there's still goodness in this world. Like everything's fine. But I feel like you've got to just do something. You have to have a thing that you like, and I think that's a hard thing.
Well,
what's your
go to donut to make yourself feel
I had
better?
The exact same question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
is it the heart shape with sprinkles?
It depends. It depends on where I'm at.
Okay.
And
as far as depression where you're at or like location where you're at?
Location
okay.
where I'm at.
It's like
fair.
If you're kind of sad, you have like a
donuts are a cultural thing.
Yeah, yeah. No,
glazed
so like,
donuts are great for anxiety. Yeah.
Well, that's like my basic bitch donut when I'm having a basic bitch day, like a basic bitch bad day, I will have a glazed donut. Now,
okay.
If I'm having like one of those like, oh my fucking god, I have to, and I can't remember, it's on like 23rd Street, it's next to Gotham Comedy Club, but they have a coconut cream donut, and it's like square, and it's glazed, and it's got little like coconut on, that is my like, I'm about to flip tables in this bitch donut, like... You know, that's... But now, if I'm having one of those, like... Now, sometimes a donut cannot console me, and I need a cake. And when I'm having one of those, like, cake days, there's a place in Astoria, it's like...
Oh, you travel for your shit. All right.
If my day is that fucked up, yes, I'm saving lives with this fucking cake, okay? So, like, I have a baklava cheesecake that I get...
Shut your mouth.
Baklava cheesecake.
Oh.
So like it's a cheesecake, but the crust is baklava, mm-hmm. and it's got like honey drizzled over the top and nuts.
Oh
like that
goodness.
is like my cake of desperation. Like I'm just like
everything is shit. I'm never going to get out of this. Like, that is, like, I will go there and I shamefully eat that shit. And, like, if I find any park bench anywhere, and I'm just like... yeah. All
right.
If I'm being super naughty and tawdry, I'll eat White Castles in the street. Like,
oh,
they,
God.
Like, yeah. Like
a, that's a different kind of donut.
Yeah, when, that's
when
a
White Castle.
That's a meat donut.
When White Castle went out of business on 8th Avenue, it was like a part of me died.
Wait, it went out of...
By Penn Station?
Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
I know, I have to take
a better not have a bad day now.
That shit is closed up. I went, I was like, yeah, I'm going to get 2 bacon cheeseburgers, some onion rings. I went.
No.
I literally was like, yeah, all by myself. Why are you judging me?
No, on 37.
Oh, she was like,
she has scissors right now. You don't want
all by yourself.
That was right by the whole studio.
Yeah, out of business.
I used to have bad shows and go over there, and then I'd get like a sack of White Castles, and I'd eat that shit walking to Grand Central by myself in the rain. Like,
now there's nothing open over there. I gotta have like a fucking smoothie at the place in Penn Station.
Or that dollar pizza that tastes like ass.
I will completely concur with the entire basis of the food therapy here. Just... So the original question was, whenever you're down post set or
life
in
like
general,
what can
you
like translate
you're not
to
doing
the average
what you
human?
Care about,
yep, right.
Just do something you enjoy doing. It's it's just acceptance, commitment therapy.
That's why I smoke a lot of weed.
I
purposely fail now so I can smoke
so
weed.
Have an excuse.
I'm like, oh, I had a bad day.
Get in there. Just jump in.
Whenever I was like a teenager or anything like that, I always, and I still do now, I tell myself not to worry about things that I can do nothing about.
Right.
So if something in the past happened to me that I can't do anything about, I just tell myself to stop thinking about it, and eventually it works. But sometimes it doesn't. Like the other night, I was laying in bed, and all of a sudden I had this flashback to a girl. I was like 4, and this girl was 3, and she bit a piece of my ear off, and I have a notch in my ear, and I couldn't remember it for years and years and years. I couldn't remember why I had this notch in my ear, and all of a sudden it came back to me.
Wow.
2 hours I sat there thinking about, like, I should have like choke slammed her.
Yeah.
Wow.
I should have used the people's elbow on her. And
you find her on
her
Facebook, you're like, I'm gonna get
I don't
you.
Know her name. I know what she looks like, and I know she has a little sister, and I'm coming for her.
Like, be ready.
Bear. That's
see, I'd say continue to take the higher grounds, because you don't know, maybe this girl's coping mechanism instead of donuts was human ears. Okay.
I mean, you know, that's very
maybe good. Your ears are her donuts.
Yeah.
I just remember I didn't do anything to her. I was like throwing the ball.
She just Tysoned you out of nowhere.
Misunderstanding.
In my ear, and I was like, what is going on? What just happened to
brutal.
Me?
Brutal.
I can't believe you didn't remember until recently. That's crazy.
Yeah,
I'd repress that.
It just came back to me out of nowhere. And then as soon as I woke up, I was like, I should find out who that was.
Yeah. I'd remember every time someone came close to my ears with their mouth, like, oh, shit. Sarah, do you feel like people are, like, wasting their time getting master's degrees these days?
Way to change the subject.
Like,
well, that reminds me of.
A lot lately. I think it depends what it's in. As you already know, I went and got I did my master's degree in neuroscience.
Right.
And I feel like it was, like, if I had to take out loans for it, I feel like it would have been pointless and a complete waste of my time. From graduating undergrad to up until I received my diploma, I had a job, steady job, and I did well. But then as soon as I got a master's degree, I was let go. For 2 years, I didn't have a job.
Wow. Did they cite that you were overqualified? That was the reason why?
No, they couldn't find a job.
She became too pompous. They were like, oh, look at the education on this girl.
What was your master's in?
Neuroscience.
Okay.
Oh, damn.
And for 2 years, and I'm still temping. Like, I'm temping in science, but I'm not being paid what I should be paid. I'm getting paid less than what I made when I had just had a bachelor's degree.
Right.
And so for science, I think it's completely pointless. You have to go back and get a doctoral degree unless you're just doing it because A, you have a full ride, or because you just want to learn. You have a drive to learn.
So if you're not going to go for your doctoral, you don't think it's is it even
for
worth
science. For something like an MBA, I think it's completely like...
Oh, yeah. No, totally. Yeah. But for science, it's like... You're right. Yeah. Undergraduate or go full force like doctoring.
I mean, do unless you need more beer, because I think I have an extra beer in the fridge.
Okay. I mean, it is Brewskis with an S.
Like, unless you didn't do well in undergrad or you want to make yourself more qualified to apply for graduate school, I don't think it's useful at all. Now, thankfully, I am more qualified if I want to go to graduate school because I can prove that I did very well at a good institution in neuroscience. But
plus the improv is definitely going to get you right into the doctor program.
Oh, yeah. Yes, and.
Yeah,
I'll go UCB, if you don't know what you're doing, we know that you can act like you do.
Yeah, exactly.
People used to ask me that. They would say, whenever I was an undergrad, why are you majoring in biology and theater? I was like, I'm going to act like I'm a doctor.
That's fantastic.
Like, you're going to be fine.
That's amazing.
It's like, you're totally going to have a long life.
Yeah.
We just want you to enjoy the next 72 hours.
I can't imagine, how much time that consumed. Because, science is a real major, and in theater it's just time consuming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you get a major from it, but it's not come on. You do a lot of zip zap zoop, and then all of a sudden you have a graduate degree. I love it, but it's still a lot of time. Mm-hmm. The plays that you have to put on, the amount of rehearsals you have to go to, you can't just be I know the lines, I'm good, I'm not gonna come to rehearsal. I can't even imagine how time-consuming having those two majors.
I'd argue we all work within entertainment. In that realm, the degree really doesn't matter that much. If you have many jobs, they ask what your education is. It's relationships.
Yeah.
It's your portfolio.
I know how to use a
resume.
Lot of cameras that have no purpose to know how to use anymore. Because I could shoot on a 16mm. That's getting me some gigs.
Yeah.
It's pointless.
So we only have 5 minutes left, but I want to move on to a couple of.
Is this where you acknowledge that you play Pokemon Go still? Is this?
I don't play Pokemon Go, but Sarah does.
I'm too scared to battle anyone though. I've been playing it since it came out. All I do is catch them. I'm too scared.
Have you caught them all?
The thing is that I caught almost all of them, and then they came out, they released the second generation or whatever, and so now I don't, because they released new ones, and I was like, fuck you.
I was
type A, that I was like, I gotta get them all, gotta get every single one of them, gotta keep them, but then they came out with these other ones, and I'm just like, son of a bitch.
It's like being in 8th grade, and you're on top of the elementary food chain, and then you become a freshman.
Exactly.
Fuck it. Yeah. I actually have a question for you. Is there anything in the improv world that people can, apply to their everyday life? You know, is there anything that you learned from improv that, you wish everybody kind of knew?
I like the thing that's taught in improv, go A to C. Mm. Don't immediately, when you're having a conversation or when you're trying to relate to someone, you don't have to say, if you were sitting here talking about macaroni and cheese, I don't have to talk about macaroni and cheese. I can say, okay, what does that remind me of, and what does that remind me of? Mm. And then I feel like you form deeper connections with people when you know how to have deeper conversations.
Mm.
Amazing.
Not all improv is deep, obviously. But sometimes it is. There is also dramatic improv. There are TV shows that are completely dramatic improv. I don't remember what they're called, but I've looked into them, but I didn't get called in.
Drimpov?
Comedic improv.
That's really cool. I didn't know that, actually, the A to Z thing. It's really cool.
Yeah, I know. So now, Sarah, are there, ads on Facebook that you find particularly compelling?
Oh my God. All these ones that I feel like they prey on. I wasn't on Facebook until this past year.
Congratulations.
Now, I know.
Welcome
so
to the Thunderdome.
Wow. And then I go on there, and all I see are these belly wraps to make women skinnier, or the tees that make your bellies flat. It's just, and it's all posted by women, and it's all targeted towards women.
They're really Russian, but go on.
It's like cannibalism.
I'm wearing one right now, and I'm not a woman.
It's cannibalism, essentially. Like,
the one that always gets me is the black clay mask that gets rid of the
oh my God, it hurts so
It's like ripping your goddamn skin off.
I've watched those
videos of people just screaming, peeling them off.
And it just looks so good to me. Like, oh, I want to get all that nastiness out of my pores. Like, it's just like, I always want to buy it. Yeah?
You did it?
It hurt.
You did it?
I mean, like, I never, like, screamed, but, like, it...
Okay.
Like, by the time I got to, like, it off to here, I wound up washing off over here because I was like, I'm going to rip my fucking skin off.
Yeah.
And I was able to get my forehead off without a lot of pain. But over here was like on my cheeks was.
But did it get all the gook out?
Yeah, I mean, I looked amazing the next day. I looked amazing.
I mean, that's the important
part. Your eyes glisten from the tears.
It's like the first time I ever got a bikini wax, I punched the woman.
And then she bit your ear.
That's what you call callback.
And then she said, no. And then she just ripped it off.
You need like a boxing ring sound for this one.
Ding, ding. Immediately just hit her.
Well, maybe you had a flashback to like the person biting your ear, and you were like, "No one touches baby."
That's exactly what it was.
Yes. Okay.
So we have to wrap this up, but before we go, Sarah, where can everyone see you next? See your plays? Follow you on social media?
This weekend, they can come to Miles Square Theater in Hoboken. Go to milesquaretheater.org, where they can find me on Instagram or Twitter at Teetsy, or just look at my name, Sarah Teed, on Facebook.
Robert Puncher.
This weekend, as soon as you finish at Miles Square Theater, you should shoot right on over to the Lodge at Woodstock for a very good comedy show.
And, tomorrow I'm going to be at the Grizzly Pear on McDougal at 3:00. On Saturday, July the 1st, I am going to be at Merriment and Mortification at Otto's Shrunken Head. Catch me every Friday night from 6 to 8 right here on FLO Empire Radio. This is Big Talkin' Brewskies. I'm Marissa Smith. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And remember, that health bill sucks. Tell them no. See you next time. Woo!
Thank you.
I'm obsessive when just when thought of you comes up. And I'm aggressive just when thought I'm close enough. You got me stressing.